Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Merry and blessed Christmas to you all. Last night, we focused on our attention on the words of St. Luke, which is always nice to do at Christmas time as he gives us all the miraculous, the conception and the nativity of Jesus. There's a lot of historical facts in Luke's writings, proper names of real people like Joseph and Mary and Quirinius and Caesar Augustus, real places on the map, Galilee, Nazareth, Judea, and Bethlehem. But this morning, we turn our focus to the Holy Spirit guiding St. John. And while Luke is ever the historian, John's focus is definitely theological, as he is led to focus on the divinity of Jesus. Not one word about Bethlehem. Not one word about swaddling cloths. Not one word about fearful shepherds. John is directing our attention to the glory of the one who is the Word made flesh for us. Yet when we reach Christmas Day, when the text is read, most of that is over. By the time the last presents are opened, we rush to the new year, not at all interested in the 12 days of Christmas. Today, our sleepy eyes' attention is often focused elsewhere. Another family gathering, a football game, the sorrow of separation, the frustration and aggravation that's caused by tempers that flare over things that other people just don't care. And yet, all this ends because it's Christmas, right? Well, no. We sang it in the hymn, right? No more thorns infesting the ground. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Everything's perfect. Is it? No. Because that's talking about when he comes the second time. This is a foreshadow. It's never as nice. This is what we call life. Maybe we can catch a copy of A Christmas Story on TBS today and watch how a family functions and dysfunctions all at the same time and eats Chinese food and gets happy. But that's not Christmas, right? That's just life. Christmas Day services become a family day, not a day of separating. And going to church becomes a family activity. One I pray fathers are very actively involved in because, quite honestly, statistically based, it has a lot to play on whether your children will continue. Today, the hype that starved to get us to jump past the season of Advent is almost gone. The Christmas tree looks so different in the day's light. Its luster just isn't the same. No longer are we caught up in the hectic countdown that started after, well, did it wait till Halloween this year? Which mustered the motion of last night past, we're better prepared today to deal with the central declaration of the Christian faith, which probably is also the central offense. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God incarnate, enfleshed for you and me. Sure, we enjoy Luke and the angelic message of to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David Christ the Lord." We remember the angelic choir singing glory to God in the highest and peace to His people among those with whom He is well pleased. Why, even the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah and Micah, can clearly see that Jesus is the long-promised Savior. The virgin will behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old and from ancient days. But today's text has none of that. No cattle lowing, as the Anglicans like to talk about cattle and weather in their hymns. No shepherds, no angelic choirs, not even the mother and child. Today we are simply confronted by the Word that became flesh to dwell among us, to be our Emmanuel, that is God with us. He came and knows what it's like to be rejected, to be hated, to be hunted. He knows what it's like to be poor, to be hungry, to be tired, and to need rest. He who was there in the beginning, He through whom all things are made, came to bring light into the darkness of sin, to bring life where only death could abide. And yet He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. We did not receive Him because we love the darkness. Our formula Concord states, in speaking about our will apart from faith, the world estranged from God, spiritually ignorant and blind. The Scriptures flatly call natural man in spiritual and divine things darkness. That is, in the dark, blind world which does not know or regard God. Solid Declaration 2. As St. Paul says to the church at Corinth, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So by faith, we find comfort in the fact that the same God who created everything by His Word in the beginning has now chosen to tabernacle, to dwell among us, to dwell with us in His New Testament way, in with and under bread and wine, as He gives us His body and blood to be our Emmanuel, God with us, in the hearing of God's Word, as He enters through the ear and tells the eyes to be quiet and shut up and close so you can hear, as He covers you with the forgiveness of your sins and your baptism, washing every last crumb. I learned something new. I didn't think I'd put it in a sermon, but I think it fits now. I learned something new this year about Christmas, about Jewish customs. When a baby was born, they would first wash the baby, then they would scrub it with salt. Then they would anoint it with oil, and then they would swaddle it. Now, the scrubbing with salt was to help get off anything from the birth that didn't just easily wash off. And you see, in baptism, there's no salt, but that's what the Holy Spirit, He scrubs it all off. Every last drop of sin. And puts it back into the water where it's soaked up by the Word made flesh. He there takes away the sins of the world. Your sins, my sins, the ones I committed yesterday, the ones I committed today, and the ones that are yet to come. Not that I'm proud of the ones yet to come, but they're to come, unless the Lord returns first, because we're poor, miserable sinners. No cloud, no pillars of fire, no burning bushes, no thundering voice. Not even a still small voice, just a cranky hillbilly in the pulpit, or somebody from California who speaks with a foreign accent from what I keep hearing. I never noticed, but 33 years later, this babe who was born in Bethlehem, who we love so very much, will die on the cross because he came to his own and his own do not know him. He will go to death for you and me because he knows each and every one of us. So John wastes no time. In verse 29 of chapter 1, he screams out for everybody to hear the Baptist cry, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Word became flesh to dwell among us, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," which means your sin and my sin. God still works in a fleshly manner as he brought his message through John the Baptist, John the Evangelist, and still through your pastors and through each one of you as we daily live our life, as we live in our baptism, scrubbed clean, feed on his Holy Supper, and receive his declaration that all our sins are forgiven. God bears witness to this mystery so that all men might believe and be saved, and through faith in God made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our incarnational joy, for through God-given faith, we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word, his Word, is truth. This light, you see, overcomes. It overpowers the darkness brought by Satan. That which is still in this world, this fallen creation, and manifest by the darkness in us, our spiritual blindness and unbelief, the death of our bodies, our daily deeds in opposition to God's Word. To this, the light of the world lights up. Our inherited darkness, as God adopts us as his own. You do not understand how they measure darkness, right? It's the absence of light. That's how you measure how dark something is. And he comes to light you up. Darkness has to flee whenever light comes, no matter how small that flicker is. As the scriptures tell us, a bruised reed or a smoldering wick still brings, that smoldering wick still brings light. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This work Jesus continues to carry out for us through his holy absolution and his blessed supper as we eat and drink the very body and blood, that very flesh, that incarnate part of Christ that is given to us and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, and yet veiled, just like the curtain veiled the Holy of Holies, it's veiled under bread and wine. And yet it's for the forgiveness of our sins and has been since the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwells among us right in our ears and out our mouths, as Jesus the Christ is the fleshly remedy to the darkness of sin. This great mystery of our faith and the love of God, that God gave his only begotten Son so that we could have true and full life for all eternity. For as John states so clearly in the passage that's loved in John's gospel by even unbelievers or held up at football games on signs, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Merry Christmas, and God bless. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.